Trigger warning. Today's episode contains frank discussion of eating disorders. Please use discretion. And if you or someone you know is in crisis, you can call or text the National Eating Disorders Association helpline at 1-800-931-2237. Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Taylor Wilde. Welcome back to Wild On Season 5, the podcast where you get the insider's view of the weird, wild world of wrestling and witchcraft on Wednesdays. Today's guest has manifesting powers. I mean, her literal word is her wand. She started wrestling in her teens, and at the tender age of 20 years old, is taking the professional wrestling world by shock by growing her social media following in a matter of months. She is a super fan turned independent superstar. Ladies and gentlemen, the stunner, Emily J.
I'm pretty sure we're seeing each other in August.
Yes.
We have Russell Bash.
Fabulous. So the universe was just giving us a little like pre-intro.
Yes.
So the one thing that drew me to you, besides the fact that you're stunning, you're, you know, early in your career, you're making waves. One, you have a tremendous social media following for kind of just getting off the ground. That's number one. Let's start there, and then I'll circle back about what number two is. So how old are you exactly?
I just turned 20.
Oh, God, that's what I thought. You're a fetus, but good for you.
I'm a little baby.
So you have a better understanding than I could ever understand at 37 years old about what life in the social media realm is really about. So how did you grow your social media following so fast and organically?
So I have always been a part of like the internet wrestling community. I've been in it since I was like 14. That's how I've like established relationships with people. That's how I met my wrestling dad, aka Heath Slater. Like that man has helped me so much in my career. Yep. And he has always been there for me. Same with Liv Morgan. They are both two of my biggest supporters. And I just started like posting like in their t-shirts and using the hashtag WWE Shop Shots. And I somehow blew up overnight. Fabulous. And when people realized I was starting to train, they're like, oh my God, like she's really doing it. She's growing from a fan to a wrestler, hopping the barricade and just proving to myself and everyone that I can do the damn thing.
Good for you. And having that like integrity and that foresight at such a young age to know that, okay, this is how we grow our fan base. Like, of course you have to work hard. Of course you have to pay your dues. You have to get in the ring. But what I'm learning in my career, especially in 2023, is your social media following is way more important than your actual talent for at least getting ahead. Like I always refer back to Danhausen. I still don't think I've ever actually seen him wrestle, and I have a Danhausen t-shirt. So he's a marketing genius, and yeah, he inspired me, and I was like, okay, there's something to this, and that's why I grind so hard on the internet. Like I spend way too much time on my phone, but it's, as you're proving, how you get ahead.
It's very important. I've had people come up to me and be like, how did you just start and already have such a big following? And I'm like, I worked my ass off since I was little to get to where I am.
Really little.
Because there's people that have been in the business for years and their social media is so small. Yeah. So like they're not getting the opportunities that a lot of us are, because we can put asses in seats pretty much, because people have seen us and they've seen us on social media. They've seen us like grow up throughout all the years of social media, and they just want to go out there and support you. And I think social media is probably the top priority in wrestling. You need to be able to market yourself and be able to put asses in seats.
Completely. I think in entertainment across the board, but you know, specifically if we're talking about the realm that we both exist in, it is number one. It really is. And it's how you make money.
Exactly. Exactly.
You fall into the same category as sweet baby Jordan Grace, who was a hardcore wrestling fan and basically took her love for wrestling behind the scenes and has become one of the top talents in professional wrestling today. So Mariah May is someone I haven't had on the podcast yet, but she's on the list. Now, I didn't realize. So she was a hardcore wrestling fan before. And she's English, isn't she? She's from the UK.
Yes. I just met her in Dallas of WrestleMania last year. That was the first time we've ever been able to meet. And it was absolutely amazing. I was like, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, and I bet you had so many parallels and so many things to talk about.
Yes, so much. Because that was right before I moved down to Florida to train at Flatbacks. WrestleMania was my last trip. And then I was going to move down to Florida and go train. And I was telling like Maria Kanellis, Maria is the person who actually got me into wrestling.
No.
Yes. And it was from her Playboy offer.
Oh. Like,
that's the one memory that I first remember from wrestling. Huh. And I got to tell her that and she legit started crying.
Oh, Maria's one of those people. She's very different than anyone else that's come out of the diva era. She started at the top. She had the WWE exposure. She did Playboy. She did the things. And she's so positive now. Like, she really builds other women up.
I truly love her so much. We saw each other again at WrestleCade last year. And I actually saw her right after I had my second ever match. And
no way.
I walked up to her in gear and she says, "Did you just wrestle?" I was like, "Yeah."
Aww.
She's like, "I'm gonna cry." She was like, "What match number was that for you?" And I went, "2." And she went, "Oh, you're such a little baby."
And what was the date for match number one?
Match number one was September 10th.
Last year?
Yep.
Wow. 1 year in, 20 years old, 30,000 followers on Instagram. Girl, keep it up.
Yes, I hope. I definitely had an internal push in me at one point because I hit rock bottom at one point when I was 16. I was like, I'm ready to give it up. Like, I was just done with everything. I was going through a lot of mental health stuff. I had a very bad eating disorder. And I literally thought, like, this is it. Like, I'm done.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? I need to prove to myself that I can come out stronger than this.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually reached out to Liv Morgan and she helped me more than anyone.
Really?
And she has always been there for me. And she's like, you need to do this for you. Don't do it for anybody else. She's like, do this for you. And that lit a spark in me. And I was like, I'm going to do the damn thing. So I got healthier. I'm now 4 years better from my eating disorder.
Wow.
And
congratulations.
Thank you. I was almost hospitalized for how small I was. So that's the first time I've ever talked about that publicly, too.
Oh, well, thank you for talking about it, because this podcast is all about if we can reach one person and know that they're not alone and that they can seek help. So thank you for sharing that piece of your journey.
Of course. And it literally lit a fire underneath me. And as soon as I turned 18, I started looking at good wrestling schools, because that's the most important part, is getting a good, reputable wrestling school. Yeah. And I found that in Flatbacks, and they tore me down and then built me back up.
Let's go back to the eating disorder, though, because that's something that affects wrestlers so much at any phase of their career, and it can come out of nowhere. I think it's more about body dysmorphia, where sometimes the more in shape you get, the more you think you look like shit. And then, you know, we kind of just take anorexia and bulimia and we insert healthy fitness diets. But, it you know, we're talking same. We're just giving it a different name. Would you mind kind of telling us a little bit about your eating disorder, how it started and how you got to the point where you were almost hospitalized?
So I pretty much went through a very bad breakup with my first ever boyfriend. It was a whole ordeal. This is a cute little reminder. Never let a man or a female break you down that much. I promise it is not worth it.
Yep.
I had given up on everything. My home life was not the best.
Okay.
I was like, I don't see any point in this. So I just wouldn't eat. I would eat a cracker a day. And I went down to 80 pounds.
And how tall are you? Just for perspective.
I'm 5'9".
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Yeah, so wow. 80 pounds. And I lost about 18 pounds in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Like, it was very bad.
Okay.
And it took me a while because I was also a cheerleader. So I was also working out while having this.
Wow.
So my body was going through it to the max.
Sure. Oh, gosh.
And I was just burning calories like no tomorrow. And thankfully, I got the help I needed. And I went away for a while and I got better mentally and physically.
Good.
It might have took a little bit. I still struggle.
Of course.
It comes back in small bits and pieces, but I know how to handle it now. And I feel like that's the most important part, is knowing how to handle it and make sure you're okay and you know when you're not okay. You need to separate yourself from situations to make yourself be okay. And yeah.
You can have all the tools to heal. And you can be healing, but healing is not linear. It's not like if you do ABC, you're out of the woods, you're healed. Thank goodness you are able to get the help. And now you have the tools and the tricks to keep yourself grounded, especially in wrestling where you're judged for your physique.
Yep. That's one of the hardest parts, is getting judged.
Don't ever let anyone's opinion, just like your breakup, take over the beautiful person that you are. Mentally and physically, because at the end of the day, you have to live with you. And if you're not happy, healthy, and like spiritually aligned, none of it was worth it. So you live in the land of social media where people can say whatever the fuck they want behind their keyboards, whether they're giving you love, whether they're giving you hate, they are still there commenting, driving up your metrics. So fuck them and just be happy.
Yes. It's pretty much any exposure is good exposure at the end of the day.
And you were talking about your wrestling dad. I also have a wrestling dad. Mine is Tommy Dreamer because I'm a little bit older than you. Your wrestling dad is somebody I was in developmental with. Heath and I were in WWE developmental together in 2007. And I know you attested a lot of your growth as a wrestler to Sean Spears as well, who is a fellow Canadian, someone I came up on the indies with. So before 2007, you probably weren't even born yet.
I was like 4 or 5 at that point.
Yeah, we were grinding it on the local Ontario scene. But Heath is a real shining light for all his southern gingerness. Tell me about your wrestling dad.
He has brought me in as one of his kids.
Aww.
Because we met for the first time when I was like 12. Like at a WWE house show. I claim him as my actual dad. Like, that is my actual dad. I texted him on my birthday and I was like, I know damn well you did not forget my birthday. And we for like 2 hours just shooting shit.
That's so nice. I have to say, for my era, because we were kind of that last generation that was stuck between the old school and the new school. And when I say new school, I just mean in this more accepting, inclusive, you don't put up with bullshit, like this is post Me Too. We were kind of in between those worlds. And what I will say is I'm really proud of all the people in my era, because we kind of survived a little bit of trauma with the old school. And you kind of had your decision. You could either big brother people and treat up-and-comers the way you were treated, which wasn't fairly, which was bullshit. Like, I had to weigh in every week at WWE. And if I gained weight, I had to explain that I was on my fucking period, or I had a burrito, or, you know, whatever. Like, things that you can't fucking do in 2023 anymore.
Yeah.
But it makes me happy, and it's like reaffirmation that we can, as generations, break trauma and create it for what we want it to be. So it warms my heart that Heath is your wrestling dad and has been a positive person for you, both obviously inside and outside the ring.
Literally the first day I walked into Flatbacks, Breeze pulled me into a room and he's like, "You're Emily, right?" I was like, "Yeah, I don't know if you know that just from the email, but like, how do you know that?" And he was like, "Heath texted me." I was like, "Oh, of course he did.
He's got your back. He's your dad."
He literally said, "Go easy on her the first day."
Aww, just the first day. So one thing I did notice is, although you have a massive social media following, what I noticed is you don't have a lot of actual, like, just concrete facts about who Emily J is. Where are you from? Let's start there.
I'm from Roanoke, Virginia.
Oh, everyone! So you hail from the land of Mickey James.
I do. I love Mickey so much.
She's wonderful.
I have lived here almost my entire life. And the one big thing that, like, Roanoke has is a big star on a mountain. And we call ourselves the Star City.
So Flatbacks is in Orlando. Is that correct? Okay. So you moved all by yourself, I'm assuming.
Yes.
How on earth are we making these big strides as a sweet baby girl? Actually, I should say I did that. That's how old I was when I first moved out for WWE. So you don't think about
you
it.
You know.
You just do it.
You just do it. You got to do what's best for you and your career at the end of the day. And I saw so much potential of all the students that have graduated from Flatbacks. And I was like, okay, I want to be them. Because I've always told myself and everyone, you want to train with people that have been where you want to be.
True.
And that's why you shouldn't go to just like an anybody school.
Yep.
It's because, are they going to teach you the characteristics of being on TV? It's like, make sure you are on hard cam. Don't go anywhere else. Stay on hard cam.
And you're learning the correct things, opposed to if you're on the indies for X amount of time and maybe your trainer wasn't the most amazing, then they have to break the habits that you could have otherwise been building. Like, it's amazing you even know these things.
Oh, I definitely have some bad habits. I was like, oh, I know how to do an arm drag. Nope.
No, that's not much,
arm drag.
Let's talk about your family and your friends back home. Do you have warm support? Are you a lone wolf? What's going on back home?
So my mom is probably my biggest supporter.
Love it.
My dad supports it, but me and him don't have the best relationship. So it's always hit or miss with him. But my mom had called me every single day before and after practice, just asking how I'm doing. She didn't care about how wrestling went. She wanted to know how I was doing. She has always been my biggest supporter. Whenever I'm at a show and she comes out, which is almost every single time.
Yeah.
And she is the first person I see when I walk out the curtain. She's the loudest one in the crowd.
Oh.
But I realized people's true colors, and pretty much the only person I really need is my mom at the end of the day.
I love that.
And I'm just like, oh, so sweet.
Well, speaking about your wrestling mom, Liv Morgan, who is a sister witch, we love this.
We love her. That girl is literally like my best friend, because my actual wrestling mom is Aria Blake.
Oh, okay. We love Aria.
Yes, she has taken under her wing, drew my tattoo that's on my wrist, because I have Keep Going, even though you can barely see it. I have a semicolon on it, and I told her that I want her to draw that. And she was like, you're not trusting me with that. And I was like, yes, I am.
I have a semicolon behind my ear too. So let's talk about what the semicolon means to you.
For me, it was during that time period of when I was 16. Sure. I was in a bad mental health state, and I wanted to give everything up. I was ready. I was ready to go. I was like, I see no purpose in living anymore. And I remember, like, I would, after I turned 16 and all this stuff went down, a couple years later, I got back into like a headspace and not a good one. And I just remember texting Liv one night and just telling her, like, hey, I'm not okay. And this was after like a Monday Night Raw or something. It's like in the middle of Monday Night Raw. And I just told her, like, I'm not okay. Like, I don't know what to do. And she texted me and literally was like, I love you. She was like, I'm going to text you as soon as I leave here. We're really busy right now. Please stay up. So she stayed and texted me out throughout that entire night till she knew I was okay. So that's why, like, Liv has a special place in my heart, because she was there for me when I thought I had no one.
I don't know why, but I kept feeling like I needed to go back to this Liv Morgan connection, not just because she's an incredible superstar and she's doing the damn thing, but I had this like intuition. I was like, there's something more there. I don't know why there's something yeah. more there. And I love that we share the same tattoo. That means, you know, we're intrinsically aligned misfits in the wrestling world. But I'm really, really proud of you that you continued to push at a time where you didn't see any future in yourself. Yes,
it took a lot. I never saw the light at the end of the tunnel, and then I found it, and that was through wrestling.
By you sharing your story, you're going to be able to inspire somebody that's sitting at home right now that's in the same mind frame, and you're going to help them. And I hope one day that you can continue the cycle and give back to the universe and be that for somebody, because you're beautiful and that really radiates from
the
inside out.
That means so much to me. Thank you.
It's the truth. It's the truth, girl. Okay, so we got real, real heavy because that's what I do. I'm an empath. Okay. I can't help it. I don't know how to make small talk. But what I'd love to get to hear from you is the internet. We can paint these images of ourselves. Is there anything that you'd like our listeners to know, your fans, something about you that they wouldn't be able to find out on the internet? Like maybe a misconception or just a fun fact, anything.
A very big misconception a lot of people have with me is that I'm in this business for the looks, and I'm here for the money, and I'm here just to be a pretty face. And I've dealt with numerous people that have told me straight to my face when I wrestle them that, oh, I'm just here because I'm a pretty face and I don't want to put in the hard work. And when I tell people that I trained my ass off, I was in Florida heat at peak summertime in a warehouse with no AC, and was there for 4 to 5 hours on end almost every single day. Mm-hmm. I put in the work, and people are like, no, but she's just a pretty face. Like, she's just doing this and she gets bookings because she's pretty. And I was like, I get bookings because I work my ass off.
100%.
I was like, I can put asses in seats at the end of the day, and that's all that matters.
I'm sorry, but this is a superficial business. If you don't have the look on the outside, and it doesn't have to be conventional beauty, it could, you know, it could be anything, but you have to invest on what's on the outside to be able to put asses in seats. And the work, the work ethic is what's going to continue your career, which is what is continuing your career. So I'm glad you said that, because you know what? That just sounds like people that's are critical like that. That's so much more about them and how they feel about themselves rather than you. But I'm glad you have the strength, and you know, you just, you deflect that. You're like, okay. I see you. I hear you. But
they're mad that I'm getting the opportunities I'm getting in such a short amount of time of me being in here while they're still struggling to get out of the state.
Everyone wants to get off the struggle bus. But you know what? Like, if you hate on other people and you try to bring them down, karma's real. You know, the best thing you can do is build up your peers and open your eyes. What are they doing that you're not doing? Because that's actually the way to help yourself, is to align themselves with you, to not hate
karma's
on you.
Karma's my best friend. Karma's my best friend. Karma always comes back.
She is real and she doesn't forget.
She's dangerous.
She's dangerous. So I love that you talked about being a Gemini. So how into the whole astrology thing are you? Because you're with Liv. You've got that like parallel. Liv is a witchy bitch. Like, let's talk about your alignment here.
Like, just started getting into really deep astrology. Like,
Okay.
I used to, during the lockdown, I got very into crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love crystals.
I love
so
crystals.
Much. I have like 3 custom necklaces that are like moonstone Ooh. Crystals. Like,
I love moonstone.
Moonstone is my favorite. My purse, I carry so many like mini crystals with me. Like, I have like 10 in my gear bag. I'm like, I'm just going to have all the good energy for me.
Preach. I love that. Like, and crystals are something you can always pick up and put down. But they're there, and they work because it's about the mindset. It's about being conscious, and it's about manifesting what those crystals mean to you. And whether it's placebo or not, those things are energetic carriers because they take your knowing and they move it into doing. And that's what being a witchy bitch is.
Manifesting is my specialty. I manifest too much stuff on accident.
And you got to be careful what the fuck you say, because I've done that before too. And I've been into this for my whole life, and I still say things and I'm like,
should have said that. Should not have said that.
Okay, so I guess that's happening. So being, you know, you are a Gemini sun. Have you found out what your moon sign is or your rising sign?
I actually have not.
Okay, so the Gemini Sun Capricorn Moon person is energetic and loves to meet new people. They crave excitement and wheel spinning, and their adventurous spirit gets them in trouble.
That's true. It's so true.
I love this. Like, I always love when you add the elements of a moon, and I'm omitting the rising because I just don't think it's as important, and like astrological people will come for me, but I think knowing your sun and your moon is like the essence of life. It also says that your sun moon combination tends to be somewhat reserved and cautious at heart. So like, maybe you lead with like extreme extroversion, but maybe it's more to kind of like protect how like sensitive you
sounds
actually
right.
are.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. Are you seeing anybody, or are you a single sister right now?
I'm trying to see people, but
because your moon is how you show up in relationships, just take this for what it is. So it says Capricorn moons are attracted to reliable, successful, and driven people who can team up with them to form a power couple. For
That's
you.
True.
Yeah.
Very true. Very true.
Oh, I love this. They're saying that the moon you would be most compatible with is Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn, which is interesting because those are all earth signs. And
I normally go for air signs.
Mm.
Which it's bad. I usually go for like my, I don't know how I like manifest them to somehow be like a Cancer, a Gemini. And I'm like, bro.
But that's interesting because you're being a Gemini, you're an air sign. Yeah. So to be with another air sign is going to be a bit risky because you guys are just like floating around the universe, being blown every which way.
Somehow, like all throughout high school, I somehow always ended up with a Scorpio. Always. And I'm like, this isn't good for me.
You like yourself a protective motherfucker, right? Just someone who doesn't show you anything.
Nothing. I'm like, dude.
Just dark and mysterious and don't talk to me. And okay, I see you. So let's talk about being young, driven, successful in wrestling, and trying to date.
Oh, it's the worst.
Are you trying to date civilians? Have you tried? And we don't have to talk any names. And there's no judgment. We don't do names.
I literally don't try for any civilians.
Okay. It is hard.
They won't understand. They just won't. Because they won't understand why I'm around like half-dressed, good-looking men all the time. Like,
a secure man will, though. Let me tell you. A secure man will.
They will. There's not a lot in this town.
Fair. Fair. When the, and it also has a lot to do with maturity too, right?
So I normally go for people like in wrestling or know about wrestling because they'll understand like what I'm going through.
100%.
They'll understand why I'm like half dressed.
Yeah.
My gear.
Yeah.
They're because I've had people like I've tried to date a civilian and he did not understand why that I was dressed the way I was. And then he is like, I don't like how like people are like gawking over you pretty much. And so like it's difficult to date in the business, but sometimes it plays out, sometimes it doesn't. And I'm just like, we're just gonna see what works, honestly.
It's hard when you're, I don't want to say young, because you are obviously an old soul,
Your
and age is not indicative of where you are in your life.
age is not
But
to me. We're legal.
no,
We're legal.
yes, the problem is when you're trying to come up and you're attaching yourself to people. But you know what? Life is short, and you've got to do
Only live
what
once,
makes
honestly.
that is it. And you know what? At the end of the day, when you make it, and you're going to make it because you're just going to keep pushing and you're going to keep grinding, what people said about you when you're on the independents, when you're collecting paychecks, doesn't matter.
Right.
Okay, let's do my top 10 tailor-made questions. It's not a speed round. I just want to hear all the goodness that you're going to spew out. Are you ready to play?
I'm so excited to play.
Okay. Have you thought about your funeral song? And if so, what would it be?
Oh gosh. That is such a good question.
I go straight for the darkness. We're having fun, and then I'm
I'm
like, okay.
here for that. Funeral song? Probably Rescue. It's by Lauren Daigle.
Oh, I haven't heard of her.
Very,
I'll look her up.
very good song.
Okay. So, in a completely opposing mood, if you walked out your door every day and had the ability to have an entrance song for to start your day for life, what would your song, your entrance music for life be?
Picture to Burn by Taylor Swift. I really like that song way too much.
I like that there was no hesitation in that one. You're like, oh, I know this
Oh,
one.
I know that one. I know that
Do you have a secret supernatural power?
I think mine is manifesting.
We did say this. We did say
I
this.
manifest too much stuff on accident.
No such thing. No such thing. If you could create your own zodiac sign, so you got to, let's say, for your perfect partner. The perfect man. What three traits would you want in a perfect zodiac partner man or woman? I don't know. I don't know what's
You're
going
good.
person, let's just say.
Loyalty, honesty, and humorous.
Oh, perfect.
Three.
What more do you need?
Literally.
Okay. Do you believe in ghosts? And if so, do you have a ghost story?
I do believe in ghosts because I used to watch Sam and Colby on YouTube all the time, and I would love their like haunted videos.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, oh God, like the ghosts are real. Ghosts are real. The funny thing is, at my shoot job, we actually have a ghost. Yeah.
The tanning salon?
Yeah. It's
You have a tanning ghost.
we do.
Tell me.
Like the beds will randomly like talk.
Yep.
And it's like only if you press a certain button, it'll talk. And it just randomly talks throughout the day. Like the back door will like randomly like slam shut. And I'm like,
Dang.
can't do
Nope, we're not
it.
playing
Get out
this
of
game.
here.
Not today.
Not today. I can do this one on like a bad day, not a good day.
Okay, so you have a tanning ghost. I love this. Let's talk nip slip, pee, incontinence, lip slip. What has been your most embarrassing moment in the ring?
I have definitely had a nip slip in the ring, sadly.
Happens. No, it's a rite of passage.
I discovered what tape was after the match. After the match, I discovered what tape was because I'm like, oh, I'll just wear a bra with my gear. I'll be
Yeah,
okay.
that's fair.
Was not okay. It was in my third ever match, and it was my first ever singles match, actually.
Oh
And it was
no.
with one of my best friends, Brittany Jade, and she went to chop me.
Yep.
And she came from like the like second rope down. So it was like an overhand chop. And when she did that, it just came out and I went, oh, I said, let me just readjust real quick.
You know what? It happens at any stage of your career. It happens. So you know what? Just put it in your pocket. Be like, I'm just that more seasoned now.
Tape has became my best friend, so have pasties.
Perfect. What is your biggest pro wrestling pet peeve?
Probably when people aren't respectful to
Yeah.
other coworkers and people in the back. It's my biggest pet peeve.
It's so much easier to just be nice
Just
and
be
respectful.
nice. Come on.
Yep. Yep. What movie changed your life?
13 going on 30.
Oh, that's adorable. That's a banger. I love that movie.
That is probably my favorite
Who is your most embarrassing crush of all time?
wrestling or just in general?
Anything.
Oh, God.
World is your oyster.
I think mine was like Dolph Ziggler in his prime, like bleached hair days. I was like,
I thought he was hot like that too. I'm not gonna lie.
like, now that I like look back on it, I'm like,
Yeah.
oh no.
I'm pretty sure that's when he was dating Amy Schumer
I'm
as
pretty
well,
sure
which is
she writes.
crazy. And I'm just like, good for you, girl. Get in there,
Got
Amy.
it. Because
Right?
now he's like, I like it better now to where it's like
Yeah, that's.
not bleach blonde.
There's something about that like dirty hot, like I don't know.
Yes.
It's just he looked greasy and I
I
was
was here
living for
for
it.
it.
Where can all of our listeners find Emma J on the internet?
You can find me at Emily J with an E Pro on all social medias.
Sorry, I said Emma. I meant
You're
Emily.
good.
I'm losing my fucking mind. End of the day. Finish this lyric. Ready? I stay out too late. Got nothing in my brain.
That's what people say. That's what people say.
The Wild On podcast is not only about focusing on my sisters, my friends, but it's about spreading love, passing the torch, building my fellow professional, up-and-coming female wrestlers up. I hope all my listeners can take little tidbits of hope, positivity, and spirituality from the Wild On podcast. If you're ever interested in me exploring topics further, whether it's about manifestation or crystals or tarot or how to become a professional wrestler, please don't hesitate to DM me. I love to hear from you. And even though I don't respond to every single message, I promise I do read them. Speaking of doing things, I could not, would not be able to do this podcast without my badass punk rock girl band, the Wild On team, my right hand woman, my queen, editor and producer, Rochelle Duras, as well as our marketing specialist, Madison Golshani. Thank you for listening, and I love you guys. Until next week, keep calm and wild on. Blessed be. Ha ha.